And we will now convene the MTS Executive Committee meeting. We'll ask the clerk to please call the roll.
And could you use your microphones this time so it's recorded?
Before I begin, I'd like to remind members of the public that they can comment using the raised hand feature or the Q&A feature. Un recordatorio que miembros del público puedan hacer un comentario por, levantando la mano o usando la función para hacer preguntas en Zoom. Fletcher?
Fletcher here.
So tell us, Elise. Eula Rivera?
Present.
Gastel?
Here.
Montgomery Stepp?
Here.
Salas?
Here.
Sankey?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Is there a motion to approve the minutes for May 6, 2021 meeting?
So moved.
Oh, you're quick. You got it right now. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Member Gastel, seconded by Member Salas. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, let's go to public comment, non-agendized public comment. Do we have any requests to speak at this time?
We have one chair, Michelle Krug. Please unmute yourself now.
Good morning. Michelle Krug, I just wanted to speak about the Pronto card. I understand that the date has been pushed to September 1st, which is fine. But I want to assure, please, that we wind up having at least 3 months of a transition between the Compass card and the Pronto card. I've had a lot of discussions as part of the California Alliance of Retired Americans, et cetera, that people are going to need a transition time, older people in particular, and disabled people, of which I am part of that, both of those communities, to make sure that they've used up all their money on their current Compass card, that they understand what's happening, and that they have a chance to get the new Pronto card set up. So please keep that in mind. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That concludes public comment. We're going to go into our discussion items. First thing we're going to get is our quarterly Mid-Coast Transit Project update. This is informational only, but it is, I think, exciting information. So with that, let me turn it over for a presentation.
Good morning. Can everybody hear me?
We can.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you. Well, good morning, Chair Fletcher, Vice Chair Sotelo Solis, and other members of the Executive Committee. My name is Ramon Ruelas, and I'm here today as SANDAG's Mid-Coast Corridor Director to provide you with an update on the progress of the Mid-Coast LRT extension projects. Next slide, please. So, you know, we've been underway for a while now on this project, so you guys should all be very familiar with this particular slide. As you guys all know, that it's an 11-mile extension to the existing UC San Diego Blue Line trolley. It will provide riders an opportunity to have a one-seat ride from the U.S.-Mexico border all the way up to the university community. There's 9 new stations that we're putting in, 5 of them which will include parking. In addition to that, the improvements, the construction improvements, we are also acquiring as part of the project budget 36 new trolley cars, which have already been delivered to MTS and I believe are already in operation. The project represents a $2.1 billion investment in the region's infrastructure, 52% of it, which is funded through Transnet, and the balance, 48%, is funded through the FTA. Next slide, please. So when service begins, the project will have a transformative impact on San Diego's transportation system. We're extending the MTS trolley network by 11 miles, providing direct transit access to major medical centers, employment centers, and universities. A rider should be able to travel from Old Town to UTC in 22 minutes, from downtown to UCSD in 31 minutes, from Chula Vista to UTC in 60 minutes, and finally from the U.S.-Mexico border to UCSD in about 70 minutes. When service first begins, we anticipate 15-minute headways, but by 2030, we anticipate 7.5-minute headways, which is very similar to what already exists in other portions of the trolley operating system. Next slide, please. So I'm pleased to report that the project remains within budget and on schedule, with revenue service anticipated to begin later this year. I must say that this is an amazing feat for a project of this size. Overall, the pandemic didn't really have a severe impact on the construction industry as it did in other industries. And we're very fortunate that price hikes to goods and materials had less of an impact on this project than it's having on projects that are that have recently or now going to construction. I'd say that there's probably little doubt that the Midcoast Trolley Project has had a significant and positive impact on the local economy. Since the project began, we've employed over 4,000 workers on site. So construction is now 90% or over 90% complete. At this time, all major structural work has been completed. Our current focus areas include station construction, landscaping, and signal work. Later this month, we anticipate turning over the trackway to MTS so MTS can begin conducting their system integration testing to ensure the facilities have met or exceeded the minimum criteria to operate trains in a safe manner along this new alignment. Next slide, please. So now I'd like to share with you some recent photos of the construction progress. So work at this location, which is the Old Town Transit Center, continues to be on pace with work at other locations. Since we last met, the crews have been busy finishing the bus pullout and widening along Pacific Highway. Next slide, please. So this is the Tecolote Road Trolley Station. This station is now about 95% complete with very little work left to be done. The station landscaping is complete. The shelter canopies are in place. Station benches and trash cans have been delivered and are in the process of being installed. Station signage has also been underway at this station. And then finally, the pedestrian access ramp, which is just off the right side of this photograph, has been put in place already. Next slide, please. So this is just a close-up of the station platform. You know, so for the three southernmost stations along the trolley extension, we worked with the community to select color palettes that were representative of the surrounding communities. For Tecolote, we have green hues to represent the San Diego River. Claremont, there are blue hues to represent Mission Bay. And at Balboa, there are orange hues to represent the sunsets at Pacific Beach. Next slide, please. So this is just another close-up of the Tecolote Road Trolley Station. You can see that the landscaping is in place and is taking very well. And it's looking very, very nice out there. Next slide, please. So this is the Claremont Station. It's about 95% complete. But for the landscaping and parking, the similar type work is ongoing here to what was underway at Tecolote. Coordination with MTS's contractor to install the Pronto branded ticket vending machines and pizzas have recently been done at this station. Next slide. So this is just a close-up, and you can see that the color hues are a little bit different at this location. So it's a little bit more advanced now than what this picture is showing. The yellow detectable warning papers have already been set, and as I mentioned before, stations and trash cans have been delivered and are in the process of being installed. Next slide. So this is the Balboa Avenue Transit Center. It's running slightly behind the other two stations to the south. Work here is about 90% complete. Similarly, the benches, trash cans are in the process of being installed. And I believe the landscaping is close to coming to an end at this station. The contractor has been focusing much of their attention on installing railing and fall protection throughout the entire site, including the stairs and ramps leading up and to and from the station. Next slide. So this is just an eye level view looking south along the tracks. And again, this is, you can see the orange hues and the tile work to kind of represent the sunset. Next slide. So this is part of the landscaping work that's being done along the north side of Balboa, just across the transit center and adjacent to the pedestrian ramp that provides access to the new station. Next slide. Other work along Balboa includes restoring the area back to the conditions that existed before we started construction, and this just kind of shows the cobblestone within the median area along Balboa Avenue. Next slide. So this photo is showing some of the contractor's plan establishment work that they have to perform after the landscaping is initially put into place. In the background, you can see how well the landscaping is taken to this location. So all that vegetation is a product of the work that we've done on this project. Next slide. So the next station location to the north is a Nobel Drive trolley station. Now the stations along the elevated guideway are further behind in progress when compared to the other at-grade stations to the south. Our contractor has set a target milestone date for turning over all the transit-related facilities for the southerly 7.5 miles of this project of June 28th, which is only 18 days away. Should that date be achieved, the property will belong to MTS to control, operate, and maintain. Now, the Nobel Drive trolley station is close to being 80% complete. Next slide, please. So most work here has been focused on completing the mall surface lot improvements surrounding the new parking structure. The contractor has also been busy working on the elevator and stair towers, providing access to the platform from the plaza level below. Next slide, please. So the VA Medical Center's trolley station, this station is going to play a significant role in improving transit access to critical healthcare facilities. This station is about 85% complete. Now, some of the finishing touches surrounding this station are being completed, but other work at the platform level have required a fair amount of coordination with other activities. Because it is an at-grade station, it provides a convenient access point for many of the vehicles to get to other locations along the elevated guideway. Next slide, please. So later this month, we're planning on holding an event to unveil the unique design features that have been incorporated into the VA station to pay tribute to our military veterans. As we all know, Supervisor Fletcher was instrumental in making that happen, and we look forward to celebrating the special station alongside him and others. Next slide, please. So this is the UC San Diego Central Campus trolley station, which is slightly over 80% complete. The work at this location has required a significant amount of coordination between our contractor and UCSD's contractor, who is busy on trying to complete the surrounding campus improvements in time for first rider. Next slide, please. So this is a shot of the contractor that is putting in the staircase up to the station platform from the plaza area on the UCSD campus. Next slide, please. So this is a great aerial shot showing the UC San Diego Health La Jolla trolley station and the UC Viaduct looking southwest. Next slide, please. So here's a closer look at that station and the surrounding roadway improvements that we completed to Boyd Drive and Campus Point Drive as well. This station is about 85% complete. Recent activities besides the roadway work include completing the elevators, installing the stair treads, and installing railing and fall protection throughout the site. Next slide, please. Here's another angle of the UC San Diego Health La Jolla trolley station. Here you can see the work that was recently completed to realign Campus Point Drive, which now runs directly beneath the trolley station. In the next image, you'll see the previous alignment just for comparison. Next slide. So this shot was taken back in February of 2020. You can see that the Campus Point Drive in this photograph is located towards the right side of the photo here. So we've made a tremendous amount of progress in this past year and a half. Next slide. So now we're at the Genesee Avenue station at Genesee Avenue. And this photograph shows the Executive Drive trolley station. This station is now over 85% complete. Last month, we repaved Genesee Avenue, which began the final phase of construction on the roadway. Crews are now working on completing the signal installations along Genesee. Next slide. So here crews are working on one of the plaza areas that's adjacent to that station. Next slide, please. So lastly, we reached the UTC Transit Center, the final station along the new extension. The UTC Transit Center is over 85% complete. Crews have been busy working on completing the elevators, and stairway structures that provide access to the new station. Now in the background, you can see that crews are continuing to work on the parking structure for the transit center, which should be completed this fall in time for trolley's opening date. Next slide, please. So this is just another closer angle of that parking structure. And I will say that work is progressing very well at this location too. Next slide, please. So through our CMGC model that we are using on this project, you know, the contractor for Midcoast has been able to work on several concurrent projects. All the projects were made possible with Transnet funding, excluding the OxLink projects noted on here, which is a Caltrans project that was funded by Senate Bill 1. Now, these efforts have required very close coordination with the work on the trolley itself. And as you can see, most of these efforts have been completed. And actually, last month, we celebrated the opening of the long-awaited Rose Creek Bikeway. Additionally, we're continuing to work with Caltrans and UC San Diego to make improvements to Voigt Drive and Campus Point Drive in the university area. Next slide, please. So as you can see, construction for the trolley extension has come a very long way. We're excited to see this historic project come to reality, and we look forward to getting to revenue service later this year. Efforts are already underway to plan the grand opening and the ribbon cutting for this November. We look forward to celebrating this monumental project, hopefully together at that time. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you for the great presentation. We're going to go to Sharon. Sharon's got a few comments on this, and we'll see if we have public speakers, and then we'll come back to the board. Sharon?
Thank you. And Ramon, thanks for that great presentation. You forgot as well that the CMGC is also working on our Old Town Transit Center rehabilitation expansion. So they're taking on a lot of work for the whole region. But I did want to mention that a few of the senior staff and I took a high rail truck up onto the whole 11 miles. Breathtaking views. And just the perspective of that part of our region is just amazing. And I kept getting struck by the fact that all these people who have never seen that perspective before are now going to have access to it. So that's, you know, pretty special. I want to let you know that we'll be getting control of the tracks by June, end of June. And we are planning to invite all of you to see the perspective I saw as well. So we'll make sure that we get a car out there with all of you on it. I would like to invite Wayne Terry up, our COO of Rail, because he will talk to you a little bit about what happens from end of June to November. Wayne's done a number of these before.
Morning, Chair Fletcher, a member of the Executive Committee. Yes, this is our 10th service startup since in the last 40 years, since 1981, so we're very proud of this. This is probably the most, I know it's the most expensive and one of the most aggressive. We are prepared. We are prepared to take it over on June 28th. We have a number of employees that we qualify on early qualification, so we are able to do the integrated testing, run VIP trains, and over this segment of the system, as well as a number of other things that need to be done. So while we take acceptance of the line on June 28th, that means it'll fall under our Operations Control Center authority. It'll be just like any other portion of the system. It'll fall under our roadway worker protection program. All the contractors that will still be working on some of the stations on the north end of the line will fall under our rules and procedures and our oversight. And so we are prepared with security. We are prepared for early qualification of train operators and other support personnel. So effective July 1, we'll be able to take trains out, take VIP trains out, take board members out, staff trains out, so staff can get familiar with what the line looks like. So for the first couple of months after that, there'll be a series of integrated testing, train load testing, substation testing, and a whole host of other things, but that can all take place in between any kind of line trips that would want to be arranged for you folks and others. We will actually start our heavy training the 1st of September. All of our personnel are in the hiring stage. stages right now. All of our technical personnel for LRV maintenance, wayside maintenance, and the such that have to go through an extended apprenticeship program were hired 2 years ago on board authority, and they're all qualified now and ready to perform service. It essentially takes 2 years for them to turn a wrench on their own, which is why it'd be really qualification. In terms of train operators and other promotions, that's all in place, and so we're set. I'm probably more confident, secure, and pleased about this startup than I have been for the others I've been involved in, and I've been involved with them all. So this is going to be a it'd be nice to put the to put the bow on this project.
And I'll mention to you, just yesterday, the mayor, myself, and Hassan sent out a letter of invitation to President Joe Biden. We may not get him, but maybe we'll get somebody else. So we'll see. Thank you, Wayne.
You bet. Thank you.
Wayne, real quick, what is the date again to be operational?
November 21st. Yeah, typically, we start up on a Sunday, so we're in full operating mode come Monday morning peak period.
That's awesome. Very exciting.
My pleasure.
Don't go too far. We may have some questions. You can go sit down. I'm just saying some executive committee members may have some questions for you. So, okay. Let's go to public comment real quick. Let's see if we have public comment, and then we'll come back to the board.
We have one chair. Michelle Krug, please unmute yourself now.
Just a very quick thank you and appreciation that you took into consideration the public in choosing the decoration, i.e. the colors for the new stations. And I hope, actually, I love that idea. And I really hope that moving forward, when you redo some of the older stations, like in San Ysidro and down south, that you might be able to also ask for public input so that we also have that kind of investment. Thank you very much for doing that.
All right, thank you. And on the, we'll go to Mayor Salas for comments and questions. I want to thank Ramon and the whole team, particularly for the work around the VA station. I don't know what early got communicated, but for a few of you that were here, we got a presentation and it was a stark gray, it's like a prison. And I said, why in the world is that what the VA station looks like? And the word was, someone at the VA told us there can't be any colors or symbols that would cause problems. And so I called that person, was no longer at the VA. And we rapidly moved to very quickly design what I think would be a very classy and fitting tribute to our veterans at that site. And so I appreciate it was late in the process. We had to scramble a little bit, but the whole team was wonderful, and I'm excited about all of the trolley stations, but that one in particular. With that, let's go to Mayor Salas.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair Fletcher. So I'm so excited, but the day's going to come rapidly. We've been waiting for this for so long, and certainly as someone from Chula Vista and someone that sees the utility of the blue line and how it's used, the question still remains is we have almost full capacity during work days on the blue line going into work centers in San Diego. And I think that this going all the way to La Jolla will actually attract even more riders to it. The traffic is returning now that the pandemic is almost behind us. Not all the way, but almost behind us. But going from the border is 60 minutes to the UCSD station. Going from Chula Vista is 50 minutes going from the station. And so I think the question remains is that then how do we make that faster? And I would say that the travel times would be greatly improved if we had at-grade separations. I mean, it would be so much faster and so much more convenient, and we could run more trains. And get more people to ride. So I certainly hope that we make that a priority at SANDAG and here at MTS, and that we really seek some federal funding, perhaps earmarks now that we're having earmarks again at the federal level, to make sure that we get those grade separations going just to make it more convenient for riders.
And I want to support the comments Mayor Salas made. Obviously, in the Elevate process, we heard loud and clear the need for grade separations, both to ease the impact on communities, but also to increase the speed at which our system can move. And that was a priority in Elevate. And I think as we look forward, there's a potential for a SANDIAG funding measure that should fund MTS, very similar to how Elevate would happen. I think that has to remain a priority. But not just waiting for that, I like the approach of proactively going out and seeing, because we also know these grade separation projects take a while. They don't happen overnight. They're pretty significant capital intensive projects, but we know in particular on the blue line, you know, we could continue to increase frequency and continue to increase ridership, but there are some limitations as it comes to that. And so I do think that is very, very important as we move forward. Let me ask other executive, Mr. Sankey.
Thank you, Chair. Absolutely concur with the grade separations. I think you pointed out a really important part of improving our system, and looking for ways to do that is a real important thing. My tour of the project several months ago taught me something very special about the project that's come together, MCTC group that's come together to build this project. It's a consortium of companies. It's a big project. One company couldn't do it all, but they're all working together well. It's on time. It's on budget. It's a real example for how projects like this could be done all over the country. The camaraderie between the contractors, the relationship between SANDIAG and the program, just so impressive to see up close in person. Can't wait to take that ride, Chair, that you took. I think it's important also to recognize those hardworking folks who were able to mobilize to help the Delmar Bluffs emergency repairs. Several groups and companies from that the trolley project were actually mobilized and ready to go to help us get those bluffs repaired and keep that train running along the coast. We all know the long-term future of that is inland, but for now we're going to have to keep putting band-aids on that bluff, and these guys were ready, willing, and able to help us in a very emergent situation. So I think it's important that the community at large knows how helpful that was for us as a region. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me ask online, Council Member Montgomery Stepp.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I just, first of all, I concur with my colleagues and what has already been said, and this is extremely exciting. I just have a question, and it involves operations, so it can also be answered offline, but it's with regard to bus route number 60 that departs from the Euclid Avenue station to City Heights station and then on to UTC. I want to know if it will have more coverage and span of service with these improvements, or will it stay the same or decrease? Again, if there's no answer now, then we can certainly take it offline.
Thank you for the question. Good morning, Dennis Desmond, Director of Planning. We did have approval for the bus service changes with the Midcoast in April of this year. We didn't have any specific increases planned for Route 60, although we definitely recognize that that's a great north-south connection between not only southeastern San Diego, but also Mid-City and Kearny Mesa up to the UTC area. So that's definitely a route that we'd like to look at doing increases in the future, but nothing specific as part of this startup for this November.
Okay, well, so we'll continue those conversations. That's all I have. Thank you.
Well, and I will mention that anytime you plan, you know, plan is only as good as the plan at the moment. So as we watch travel patterns, we'll definitely be reassessing how we feed into the light rail system.
Okay, any other comments or questions? This is an informational item only. No action needed on our part. With that, thank you for the presentation. We're very excited, and I know we're all looking forward to between now and November and all of the individual milestones that we'll be doing as we move forward. We're now going to move to agenda item 5, Riverwalk Station Agreement. This is an action item for Executive Committee. I'm going to turn it over to staff for a presentation, then we'll go to public comment and come back to Executive Committee members. Karen?
Thank you. So today's action is for the board to recommend approval of an agreement and various related actions to the board for next week. It relates to the Riverwalk project, so I've invited Pete Shearer from Hines Development, who is doing that project, to first give you all a presentation on what Riverwalk is and the trolley station itself, and then I'll go into the details of what this trolley station agreement includes. So with that, do we have Pete online?
I am here. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we are. Great.
Beautiful.
Take it away, Pete.
Thank you, Karen. Well, Chair Fletcher and the board, thank you for giving us some time to talk through our project. I know I've spoken with many of you at various levels about this project as we were coming through entitlement. So it's good to be talking about the implementation of this project. At a high level, Riverwalk, we aim for it to be San Diego's first truly transit-oriented village. That's how we're branding this development. You know, there's obviously been a number of transit-oriented developments, very successful throughout the city of San Diego, but this is the opportunity to really build an entire neighborhood, an entire village around a transit stop. And so the heart of that is this agreement that Karen will walk you through the fun parts of in a bit. You know, just high level, Riverwalk is 4,300 residential units, 1 million square feet of office space, and 150,000 square feet of retail space. All of that centered around the new transit stop that you see on the image here in front of you. We have said to the community and all of those through the entitlement process that, you know, we really aim to prove that a car-free lifestyle is not just possible, but it can be preferable. So with that, let's go to the next slide. So here's the site plan for the project. It's about 200 acres, as I mentioned, 4,300 units. 10% of those would be on-site affordable housing units, and then 150,000 square feet of retail and 1 million square feet of office. All of this is currently a golf course, a 200 acre golf course, and we will begin construction ideally next year, first quarter of next year, on the north side of the tracks, immediately adjacent to the transit stop. The project itself will likely take, you know, 15 to 20 years. Building something of this scale is not something you can do overnight. So it will be phased in through a series of 5 or 6 phases, but we are hoping to get started here very soon. We're going to submit a grading permit application for phase 1 to the city of San Diego, likely next week. With that, we can go to the next slide. You know, and what that means for land uses, I think, you know, we've spent a lot of time thinking about how do you create a transit system that works. And for us, you know, the way that we want to be partners with MTS and the region on changing mode share is really to provide the land use that complements the transit infrastructure investment that we've all made. And so you can see here, we've got higher density mixed use proposed immediately adjacent to the transit stop. And then as you get closer to our neighbors to the east and the west, it transitions into a residential neighborhood. You can see the employment use, that 1 million square feet of office I talked about, down closer to the I-8. While it looks like it's quite a walk from our new transit stop, what's interesting about this site is due to its scale, we're actually adjacent to the Fashion Valley transit stop as well. So that entirety of the employment area is also in a transit priority area, walkable to the existing Fashion Valley Transit Center. Next slide. So I'll quickly walk through some images and then we can get to Karen talking through the nuts and bolts of the agreement itself. But, you know, I think these images sort of help bring to life what we're trying to achieve here. As I mentioned, you know, 150,000 square feet of retail, really creating a town square, a center, a high street or main street for Western Mission Valley. All of this immediately adjacent to that transit stop. So just off the page to our left is the transit stop we showed on that first image. You know, we envision hosting farmers markets here, open air movies, live music, et cetera, really a gathering place, you know, which is fully accessible and is aiming to celebrate the transit adjacency here, as opposed to having it as a hidden back door that many other developments, unfortunately, in Mission Valley have taken. So, you know, with that, we can move on to the next slide. And this is, as I mentioned, a place that we think is the right location, the right design for housing of all incomes. You know, we have an emphasis here on the human scale design. I think this image captures that really well. You know, it's not just transit, it's also pedestrians and bicyclists, and making sure that Mission Valley has a place for people, not just cars. As I mentioned earlier, we are doing on-site affordable housing here, 10%, so 430 units. It'll be one of the largest affordable developments in San Diego history. Next slide. The other thing that's really exciting about this is, you know, the urban density around transit is something that we're very excited about. I think is one of the core elements of our project, but also the access to open space. So What I neglected to mention on our earlier slide is that there's also 100 acres of open space at this project. So you get the best of transit adjacent density to maximize that mode share shift and ridership, but also the access to the outdoors, which we know is so important during COVID and in this post-COVID world. So, you know, the image you see on the screen in front of us is the repurposing of the golf course clubhouse. Immediately adjacent to the San Diego River Trail. And we see the interaction of the built environment, especially retail, activating that San Diego River Trail. So again, we're thinking about this project in terms of all different mode share and hoping to get folks out of their cars. Next slide. And then the last thing, and this is one thing, when I moved to San Diego about 4.5 years ago, you know, one of the things that surprised me is that the train didn't go to, you know, the weekend activities. It doesn't go to the airport, doesn't go to the beaches, doesn't go to Balboa Park. And so we have the opportunity here to provide about 100 acres of open space. 80 acres of that will be a publicly accessible, publicly owned City of San Diego River Park surrounding the San Diego River. And this will be the largest park accessible by trolley to our understanding in the City of San Diego. So that concludes my presentation. I think, Karen, if you want to walk through the nuts and bolts of the agreement, we can do that now. Oh, actually, there's one more slide. Sorry, this is sort of the diagrammatic concept design for the station itself. You can see we've gone through a fairly detailed design that included MTS, City of San Diego, as well as the CPUC, and the CPUC has given us a letter of no objection for this station, as well as the crossings that will be required for the project as a whole. And then the final slide is just an estimate on timeline. So as I mentioned, we're moving through the permitting process now. We expect to pull a grading permit in the first quarter of next year, and then building permits following likely a quarter thereafter, which gets us to the first building occupants coming in late 2024. As it relates to the trolley stop and the phasing of that in particular, it is a condition of approval for our project that we build that trolley stop prior to the completion of 3,386 equivalent dwelling units, which is roughly the end of the second phase here. However, we aim to do that sooner, and this agreement captures that optionality. So, we are hoping to have that completed with the end of phase one in 2024. So that's it for me. I think I can now turn it over to Karen.
Great, thank you. So my side is a little more technical. I'm going to try to walk you through it. There are three main findings that we are asking the board next week to make, and so today's action would be the executive committee making those recommendations to the board. The first is to adopt the CEQA findings as a responsible agency related to the Riverwalk project. I'll walk you through those in a minute. Then you would authorize the CEO to execute the Riverwalk station agreement and to effectuate all of the property right transfers set forth in that agreement. And then the last is related to two of those property right transfers. We would need to declare the Triangle parcel and the Fashion Valley Road dedication parcel to be exempt surplus land under the Surplus Land Act, so that then we can proceed with those under the new AB 1486 structures. So for the CEQA findings, just to give you all a little bit of background, the City of San Diego is the lead agency for this project, and they certified an EIR on November 17th of last year and adopted the findings and the Statement of Overriding Considerations. And so that is what we are relying on here. MTS is considered a responsible agency because approval of this Riverwalk station agreement is a subsequent discretionary decision related to that project. And so there have been no substantial changes in the project or circumstances or new information regarding a new impact or significant increase in the severity of an environmental impact since the city's approvals in November. And it's important to note that the Riverwalk station agreement is actually implementing one of the EIR's mitigation requirements that a new trolley station will be incorporated into the project. So this is just a detailed list of what the CEQA finding is, and of course lawyers have to do belts and suspenders. So there's several findings that we'll ask you to make that, related to that. So moving on to the Riverwalk station agreement. The Mission Valley West project, when we extended the trolley to the just past the stadium. I just forget where that ends. We had to acquire right-of-way from the Levi Christian family, which included this right-of-way through the Riverwalk golf course. And as part of that acquisition, they granted an easement to MTS for the right-of-way, but they reserved their owner's rights to various easements and property rights across that new trolley right-of-way since we were bisecting the property, so that it would facilitate development of the property in the future. And it also required, as part of that, for the owner to build a trolley station as part of any future development. So what today's station agreement does is it implements these prior obligations from the Mission Valley West project. So MTS will have a right to review and approve all of the final trolley station construction plans through our right of entry process. The trolley station construction will be funded solely by Riverwalk. And then we consent to various easements for roads, facilities, and utilities that are necessary to construct the Riverwalk project to the extent that those have to cross our right-of-way. And then it commits MTS to actually accepting ownership of and commencing operations of the new trolley station. And it also commits Riverwalk to provide road and utility access to another piece of property that MTS owns that is adjacent to the Riverwalk site. So I'll walk you through what that is now. So then the last one are these fee transfers that we need to make some surplus land act declarations about. And so looking on the site map, you can see to the bottom left, there's an area that I've labeled MTS South Parcel. That is property that is owned by MTS. We purchased that as part of the Mission Valley West project. And so one of the things that this agreement does is it commits Riverwalk in their design to extend the roads that they're building to this project so that we would have road access and not be roadblocked, and also utility access. And one of the fee transfers is just above that south parcel, there's an area roughly highlighted in orange that we're calling the triangle parcel. And so that is kind of a remnant piece of parcel that is sandwiched in between the MTS tracks and the new Riverwalk development. And so one of the things that we're proposing under this agreement is that we would transfer the title to that triangle parcel to Riverwalk. They would take over the maintenance responsibilities related to that. There's really no utility for MTS and our transit purposes for that site. And then on the right side of the project, there's an almost diamond-shaped sliver that we're calling the Fashion Valley Road sliver. That was property that MTS also owns, and as part of the Mission Valley West project, it had been anticipated that it would be dedicated to the city of San Diego for road widening purposes, but that never actually took place. So as part of this Riverwalk project, Riverwalk is doing the road widening that's necessary, and so the agreement would transfer ownership of that sliver to Riverwalk so that they can create that road work, do that road work, and then they would dedicate the widened road right of way to the city of San Diego after that process. And so that's basically what I just walked you through. So that we would transfer those. And so related to those, whenever we transfer fee title of property to another agency or another entity, we have to either declare it as surplus land and offer it for affordable housing and other purposes, or we have to make findings that it qualifies as exempt surplus land. We do believe that those two parcels qualify as exempt surplus land. There's three different areas that they would actually fall under. One is land that's being exchanged for another property necessary for the agency's use. We are transferring those to them, and then we will also get the trolley station parcel plus the road access and the utility access. So it's also surplus lands that's transferring for another local, state, or federal agency for the agency's use. We think the Fashion Valley Road section qualifies for that. There's two steps, but ultimately that's designated for the city of San Diego's use. And then finally, it also allows that if it's a former street, right-of-way, or easement is being conveyed to an owner of an adjacent property in that triangle sliver, is former, excess right-of-way of MTS and it's being transferred to the adjacent property owner. So with that, the last two recommendations are to approve the Riverwalk, or recommend that the CEO be authorized to execute the Riverwalk station agreement and to declare those two parcels as exempt surplus land. And then I'm available for any questions.
All right, let's ask if we have any public comments on this item.
We have none, Chair. Oh, Michelle Krug just asked.
All right, of course.
You'll be unmuted now, Michelle.
It's lucky that I care about this stuff. Good morning again. Just a question. I love that there's going to be 430 affordable units. My query is always, what kind of affordable is that? Are there any that are very low income, 30% or below AMI, or are they 60% and below at least? So I just ask you to query those things moving forward as to what that percentage is. I hope they are not all 80 to 120% AMI. Thank you.
All right, let's go to any board member comments, executive committee comments or questions? Mr. Gessel.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this project. It looks like a place that I'd like to live someday if I ever leave Lemon Grove. If there's one thing that I think I don't want to say anything's missing, because it looks great, you know, for what it is, and it's serving so many purposes. But if there's one thing that I think that we should be thinking about for the future, it's a connection to the south side of Interstate 8, because this project comes very close to Presidio Park and Old Town, and it would enrich the area quite a lot if there was a nice way to walk from Old Town to Fashion Valley. I think that would, I'm not the only one thinking this. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can walk over Taylor Street Bridge, but it's not something that would be inviting. It seems to me that there's one thing that I really think like that's needed, you know, for the future. It's that connection to the south side of Highway 8. This area is incredibly significant historically. I don't know if people realize that hundreds of years back, maybe even thousands of years back, the trail going from what we now call Dog Beach, where the San Diego River meets the ocean, all the way to the Colorado River, sometimes called Kumeyaay Trail or Highway 8, the trail that for hundreds if not thousands of years has gone from along the Pacific coast all the way from the Baja California up the Baja California Peninsula, heading all the way up to Monterey, is what we call a large part of that we now call El Camino Real, and it corresponds with Highway 5. So this river walk is in an area of immense historical significance that we often see in relation to Presidio Park and the original site of the San Diego Mission before it was where it is now. I hope that that'll be taken into consideration, and the connecting points, because it used to be long ago that you didn't have freeways separating these areas, and I think that maybe Back to the Future is a theme that we want to work on. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions? So, Member Ela.
Thank you, Chair Fletcher. This is super exciting in many ways. Definitely, you know, given where we are with housing and homelessness in our region, it's good to see that we're maximizing the opportunity to provide folks with housing at all income levels. I definitely appreciate the intentionality that's gone into that. Member Gastel's comments did have me wondering about opportunities in this project to engage with our indigenous neighbors to ensure that there's some ways to incorporate them, whether that means in the work or the vision of shaping what the Riverwalk will look like in terms of restoring it back to what it was, that whole thing, Back to the Future aspect of this. I know that the opportunities to engage indigenous communities Native communities in some of this work is super important and can go a long way to making amends for, partially making amends for what we've done in the past.
So I you know, those are all excellent comments, and primary, it's the city that dictates that, but certainly as Heinz Group is looking at design of the station, those kind of comments are good for feedback as to what you might incorporate in the station itself. So Pete's on the line still, I think.
I am, yeah. I'm happy to address both of those comments if the board would appreciate that. So as it relates to trails, that's absolutely critical. I think it's critical to the functioning of Mission Valley. And connections down south are very important. As you all know, getting through Mission Valley is a question of where can you cross the river. So as part of the project, you can kind of see it on this map. Unfortunately, my table is covering up one of the bridges, but we do have two existing golf cart bridges that are already constructed. There you go. those two existing golf cart bridges, they're actually quite architecturally pleasing, but they're also very functional, and we plan to repurpose those as pedestrian connections to the north and to the south. You can see the dotted line north of the river there, which is our extension of the San Diego River Trail. We've got about a mile extension on our property that will, you know, make a meaningful improvement to that lower 9 miles and make one of the final connection points to re-solidify that pedestrian multimodal trail that goes from Dog Beach up to the headlands of the San Diego River. So I know Rob Hutzel and Chair Fletcher have talked about this as an important thing to prioritize in Mission Valley, and we're very much in support of that. I will say we make one final connection, but there is still a connection point to get down to Septim Fields and across the river there that needs to be done in order to get all the way out to Dog Beach. So that is something that I think that we have planned for and are very optimistic that this San Diego River Trail will be one of the marquee recreation and transportation elements in the city of San Diego when complete. As it relates to the second comment in the interfacing we've had with the Native American groups in the area, we went through our AB 52 process as part of our entitlement and had good conversations with all of the local tribal representatives. And we will be incorporating signage throughout the river park, as well as naming some streets, traditional Kumeyaay names as well. And then throughout the river park, everything you see in green there will be native plants. This is an area that was very historically significant for Native peoples. Planting it with a plant palette that is, back to the future, to use the term of the day, is something we envision. I thought the suggestion, I think it came from Sharon, regarding incorporation of Native elements into the transit stop itself is really interesting and something we're very open to looking at as we move forward with that design.
Great, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's a good idea, Sharon. And then I'm glad to hear that there's been cooperation and an effort to reach out to Native groups. And any additional efforts that the city needs to make, obviously I'll happy to bring those back and champion those as well. Gave myself homework. All of these are really good opportunities to ensure that folks recognize that San Diego's history goes back well before colonization. Thank you.
Just echo this. We've been doing a fair amount of work with the group on the river park trail aspects, and particularly that western nine, and a lot of efforts around that. But that's been central to that is really working on those indigenous efforts along the trail and recognition around. I think it'd be a great thing for MTS to do that, to consider working on the transit stop as well, to have it really mirrors on the trail. So as a board, we're going to recommend this to, Council Member Montgomery, step. I see your hand up.
Here, you're going to probably put a motion forward, so once we do, I can second that. But I did have a couple of clarification for the AMI of the affordable. My recollection is that it was 65%. Pete, can you verify that?
Yeah, so this project started in 2017 before the Inclusionary Housing Ordinance updated. So we were vested in our rights at the previous ordinance of 65% AMI. We are doing 10% on site. So it is 10% on site at 65% AMI.
Okay. Also, I also just from the city's what we went through at the city and how you all were engaged with community at every step of the way, even down to the wire. I just want to say I do appreciate that effort. And with regard to that, I want to check in also on the transit subsidies, the transit pass subsidies that were outlined in the environmental impact report. I just want to verify that is still correct moving forward, and that there will be a 25% subsidy for residential tenants that are at Riverwalk.
Councilmember, yes, that's captured and codified in our MMRP as part of our transportation demand management program through the EIR. So that is a requirement of the project and still something we're very much looking forward to implementing.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all I have.
Thank you so much.
All right. Mayor Sotelo-Solis.
Chair Fletcher, can you hear me?
We can.
Awesome. I just want to echo the sentiments of my colleagues that there has been much work and much reflection, again, with our Native peoples, our community with regarding to affordable housing. So wearing the MTS hat, it feels good to know that our staff is really being reflective, and as well as hearing the needs and the causes that we want to help remedy, you know, the past impacts that have happened. So if my colleagues, Elo and Montgomery, step are on board, I will, you know, triple support this. So thank you again to staff and to the developer for really taking that all of these requests into account and helping to make it happen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, so the recommendation will go to the board. I think it's probably good to have a whole presentation. We can put it on consent. It's probably good for the board to get the presentation. This is a pretty significant project. So I'll make a motion to approve the recommendations outlined in this recommend approval, to the full board from the executive committee with the presentation and discussion at our next board meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, second by Mr. Gassel. Any final comments or thoughts? All right, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any abstained or opposed? Okay, before we recess into closed session, let's just finish the other items on our agenda. Agenda 7 is this review of the draft for our MTS board agenda. Let me ask staff if there's any comments on that.
Yes, there's a couple of corrections. For instance, item number 30, this is just ordinance changes that are reflective of the regional fair ordinance changes that were made by SANDAG on our behalf. I would suggest we can move that to consent in interest of time. This was already vetted to the board. It includes the free transfers and the other items that are related to the Pronto system. I also wanted to mention that the number 32 is mistitled, at least in my packet. Ridership recovery plan is really what the focus will be on that particular item. And then item number 46, it says subsidy revenues report, but it's actually non-fare revenue report. That would be on items such as our concession items, you know, advertising, anything other than fare revenue and subsidy.
All right. Any thoughts otherwise on this agenda? We have additional committee communications. Next meeting date for the executive committee will be July 15th, 2021. And not signing any additional thoughts with that, we will recess into closed session. Thank you all.
Reporting out of closed session for the MTS Executive Committee meeting on June 10th, 2021, and agenda item number 6, closed session, public. public employee performance evaluation conference with labor negotiators regarding the chief executive officer. The executive committee met and conducted a performance evaluation and gave instructions to its negotiator.
The executive committee meeting is now adjourned.